Okay, we are picking up the Gemara in Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. We are four lines from the bottom. The words, the very first word on the line, Tana. So now the Gemara says, Tana, that we read in Braisa, Hegia us achas chayev. That someone, all he has to do is correct one letter, then he's going to be chayev for Malach of Kosev on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Hashtag savos achad patur. If a guy actually goes ahead and writes a brand new letter, writes an aleph, he's still patur, right? We have to say you have to write two letters. Hegia os achas chayev. Then how could it possibly be that if you all you do is correct one letter, if you're going to tell me that you're chayev, how could the Braisa say this? So Gemara says, Amar, Sheish es hacha mayaskinan. So what are we doing over here to answer the stira? Gemara says, Kegon shenat lo legagol shel ches. We're talking about a case, v'asu shnei zayin. So that we're talking about a case where a person, he took away the top of a ches. If you look carefully at the Sefer Torah, the way that a ches is shaped with the Ksav Ashuris, it actually looks like two zayins. So if you do that, and you remove the two zayins, then in fact you would be chayev. And Rashi points out, and you need a dafka two zayins in that spot, because then it would be as if you wrote those two letters. Otherwise, if you didn't need the two zayins at all, maybe it could be that in echanami you would not necessarily be chayev. But so that's lefi Rashi. That's how Rashi explains it over here. Then Gemara now continues. Rava amal kegoin shenatlo lesago shel dalet vasoreish. Rava gives a different example. He says he took off the crown, the tag, right? The crown is always the tag and the little things that they have. If you look at a sefer Torah. Or the Ksav Asuris, they have those little tops, those crowns. The Asuresh, and you make it into Resh, which again, Rashi points out that over here, in this case, that over here going to be Chayev, it's only talking about one letter. So why are you going to be Chayev? So here, Rashi says, example, that it must be that you fixed the Sefer. And Rashi says that because the Gemara Ksubis, that it's Asur to have a Sefer that's not properly checked, so therefore, you fix this Sefer, and it's similar to what we said before, then this would be Alfilo, even the Shita of the Rabbanan, that we mentioned before, if you finish the last letter of a Sefer, it doesn't matter where it is, we said that also, and what Sefer it is, if you finish the Sefer, you have then completed a Chashivas, and even one letter would be Chayev. So now the Gemara continues, Tan, another ruling from Braisa, Niskavin, Lichtov, Osa Achas. If someone intended to write one letter, and he ended up writing two. So let's say he wrote a ches. Rashi says, example, he says he wrote a ches, and then he ended up writing two zayins instead. The Gemara, the Braisa is telling you that you're going to be chayav. So Tosfos asks, how in the world could that be possible? We have the rule based on the Gemara 9 Gimel that tells us that if a person intends to throw something two amos and then it went four, he's going to be pater. So here, if you intended to write one, then how could it possibly be chayav two? So therefore, Tosfos gives you a kipta that really we're talking about over here. That at the end of the day, he really needed to write two letters. Very interesting. He wrote two letters and he forgot about the fact that he needed to write two letters. And then he wrote the two letters and says, oh, by the way, actually, oh, wow, I really needed that, Lamafreya. We're trying to really see that as you look. Okay, look at the Tosos. It's actually the first Tosos on the Amud Niskavit. So then the Gemara continues. The Gemara asks about Tanan Pater, but we learn in the Mishnah, a person will be Pater in such a case where you wrote one. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah, no, a difference. Lo Kasha. Our Mishnah had to buy a Zune. The ruling of the Mishnah is telling you where the letters, the Tagin, right? Rashi says the Tagin need to be crowned over here. Since a letter needs to be crowned in a Sefer Torah, then in that situation, you would not be chayav for writing them without the tag and without the crowns. So the shaila over there is that it seems to go against the psak. Because in Shulchan Aruch we rule that if someone writes a Sefer Torah and misses some of the tagin, the Sefer Torah, mezuzah, or tefillin, I believe for all of them, it's still going to be kasher b'dieved. So how over here we're assuming that dafka, we're referring to a case of Sefer Torah, it's a sarachin a little bit, why that should be at the end of the day if it's still kasher to write a Sefer Torah that way, so maybe he still wanted to do it in the correct way. Since it was not his makshava to do it that his correct way, l'chor, that's the reason you would be pater, to be kiv eger. Just adds one more thing, that if a dafka, that would be, based on what we're saying, that would only be an example where you're writing for a Sefer Torah or mezuzah, or things where you actually need this ksav ashuris properly written. However, if you're writing just a letter or something like that, where you like to sometimes have them nicely, but you don't really care if there's going to be these tagging and these crowns, so then you would for sure be part of according to everyone. And now the Gemara continues, Hadulobai is in the Braisaver is referring to a case where the letters don't need to be crowned. In that situation, you would be chayav for writing them. So again, if you again had no intention of writing the crowns, that's when you say you're going to be chayav. That's what came out over here. So now the Gemara continues. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Kasav os achas no trikon." If someone wrote a letter as an abbreviation, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beser mechayev achavim poter. Who says they're mechayev? The Chavim say you're poter. So now the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan and Mishnah Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra minayin l'lashon no trikon min haTorah." Where do we find abbreviation in the Torah? It's interesting. Rabbi Yosef just points out over here that lachora this is not really the same no trikon. No trikon could mean a few things. We're using as a lashon of abbreviation that, right, you use it as like an apostrophe, where you write a letter, an aleph, and then an abbreviation, so everyone knows that it means, or a kuf, let's say, an abbreviation, you know, that means korban. So that's a good example. So everyone knows what that means, so that's the machlokes over here. But this is actually not, this is not an abbreviation. The Gemara is about to quote an acronym. So he says apparently no trigon, it's just, there's lav dafka main rai over here. This is just the Gemara, the Rav Chamilska is quoting just the idea of a no trigon, which can mean a few different things. So the Gemara now says, where do we know the idea of no trigon? The Gemara says, now, shenemar ki avamon goyim nesaticha. Pasuk says, by Avram Avinu. So we're learning the avamon, that you're going to be the father of a many nation, multitude of nations. So now the word Hamon is going to be is a riboy. Why? Because Hashem could have said Avram that he's going to be a father of nations. Why didn't Hamon? It's going to be multitude. So the Gemara now says. So what we have a drasha now. The Av is lashon Av is nasicha leumos. So that's the Aleph. That so then we have they're going to be a father for nations. Beis is bachor shenatzisa nasaticha beumos. I'm going to make you a bachor, meaning livchor, to be chosen amongst the nations. Hamon, hamon, in lashon over here is going to stand for chaviv nasaticha beumos. I'm going to make you chaviv. What do you mean? This is a ches. So Yerushalmi already quotes in Rashi. I forgot which Masechta Rashi quotes that we darshin out things from Hayz and Ches because they're written so similar. The Yerushalmi already says that that's a concept. I think it comes up maybe in the Bavli, but I know that for sure Rashi quotes it in a certain place. So we learn Ches and Hayz is interchangeable. So where it says Melech nasaticha leumos. So now Hamon. So the mem over there is going to be the Melech. I'm going to make you a king over the nations. Vasik nasaticha leumos. Also, I've made you a vasik amongst the nation. Ne'eman nasaticha leumos. I've made you a trusted to the other nation. So we see over here that this again the concept of notrikon that is applicable exactly, not exactly the same as an abbreviation using the apostrophe. However, it is very similar over here because it's using it as an acronym, which again is all major concept of a notrikon. Just one interesting Rav Nevi Yashiv pointed out that when it comes to notrikon, when it came to the din of an apostrophe, Rav Yashiv says that if you write Hashem, the hey, in an apostrophe, that lechor according to everyone you're not bichayv because you dafka are trying not to write the name out. So no one would agree, no one have to say that you're bichayv. Even Rabbi Shlomo ben Basir, because there no one wants to actually write the Shem Hashem, that's why you dafka write the hey. So there could be there an interesting psak, Rav Yashiv thought that no one would think that you're chayv. Okay, the Gemara continues there. Rabbi Yochanan didei amar. Rabbi Yochanan said his own example. What did he say? Anochi is notrikon. Ani nafshi k'savis yavi. So when it comes to the aseres adibros, it could have said Rashi says it could have said ani. I was there. So why do you have to say anochi? The different lashon. So now the Gemara is saying there's a drush over here. The anochi is drush. An nafshi k'savis yavi is that I myself wrote and gave the Torah. That's what that's the an is the aleph, nun is nafshi. The chaf is the ksivas, the yavis is the yod. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbanan amre amiran the ima ksiva yavis. The Rabbanan say that amiran that's the notrikon over here. Anochi aleph nun the chaf and the yod is referring to anochi is a pleasant statement that right amira na'ima, like a nice statement, a good statement. Ksiva yavis that I written and I gave it to you, meaning my asers diros my Torah. Now the third version of Gemara says ikud amre anochi l'mafreya yavis ksiva neman emareya. That some say the word anochi should be read backwards, which would be yod chaf nun aleph, which would then be the acronym for the words Yehavi Ksiva Neman Nemarea, that Yehavi Ksiva, meaning I gave you a writing, which is Neman Nemarea, which is truthful, trustworthy, it's reliable, it's something that you can trust. So now the Gemara continues another acronym, the Verb Nosan Amre, Ki Yorit HaDerech Lenegdi. When it comes to the Malach going with Bilam, and the Malach, so it was yelling at Bilam, so he loves Yorat, it was Yara, literally means that it was quick, very quick to act on the road of opposite. It means the road Yarat is considered to be a reboy there as well, because just say that it would have to go opposite side. Why do you have to say Yarat? And where it says now, Drasha, Yara Rasa Natasa. The Yara Rasa Natasa, that the donkey, it was afraid. Yara Rasa, it saw the Malach, and then Natasa turned aside. That is the Notrikan over there. Interesting. The Gemara says, Rebbe Shmuel, we learned it out for Karma, the Pasuk Goshen of Karmel. When it comes to the Omer, you have to bring the Omer, right? The Mincha to the Omer, so it can't be brought from the Chadash. So it says Karmel, which is Lashon, it should be brought from the kernel. So the Gemara is saying that the grain dafka should be Kar Maleh, which Rashi points out, it has to be, first of all, the literal Lashon is Kar Maleh, has to be full head of grain, but the Rashi points out that it needs to be apparently ground up while it's moist in order to make it better for the Korban itself. The Gemara continues now. Another Akron of Acha, Rabbi Yaakov Amar, Vehu Kalani Kalonim Res, is referring to David when he came into Shimi Ben Gera, was Shach of Shaul, who was very upset with David HaMelech, and he cursed him. And it says, Kolin Nimretzis, he cursed me with a very Nimretzis, literally means like an explicit curse. So the word, so the Gemara is addressed, why can't you just say cursed me? What do you have to get into the fact that Nimretzis is very explicit? The Gemara says, no trico, no, he's dafka alluding to the fact that this is how he cursed me, that it's a no trico, and it's going to be an acronym for the following, Noef, that's the nun, right, with when it comes to, he was adulterer, he was referring to his mice with Bacheva, Moavi, who he's a Moavi, he comes from the Rus HaMoaviah, Roseach, who he killed Uriah Chiti, Soreru, he is an enemy. This is just a general insert in Toeva, who is an abomination. Everyone's embarrassed about him. So that was just Well, another insult of David Melech. Then the work continues. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Man This was referring to Yosef and the Achim when it comes to Yehuda. So he says, Yehuda then said to him, "How can we speak and how can we justify ourselves?" And then right after he goes on to justify himself. So clearly, it can't mean Kipshuto that it means Tzadak. We're going to justify. How can we justify ourselves? So if Yehuda was trying to justify it right after, he makes a little argument. But Yigashi love Yehuda, so he's going to go. So Gemara says now, Nechonim Anachnu. Really, we are. We're right. Tzadikim anachnu, we're tzadikim. Tohoirim anachnu, we're pure. Dakim anachnu, we're clean, we're innocent. Kitoishim anachnu, we are very holy. Okay, the last mission now with regards to this parak, the mission is not going to finish off the lach of writing. The mission says, HaKosim shtei osios b'shtei ha'lamos. Someone writes two letters in two different lapses of awareness, then achas shachas achas ben arbayim. So then, meaning you wrote A, you realize, oh my God, it was Shabbos. I wrote the letter A or Aleph. So then you realize you said the letter Aleph, and then you realize that achas ben arbayim, the letter went. So the mission is off using an example to show that you completely forgot about it. And then again, you wrote Beis, so that you forgot about it in the interim, but that you added the idea in between the two. So then the Gemara says, the mission says, Rabban Galiel Mechai, Ramiel says they're going to be Chaya Vachatas, Chachamim says they're going to be Pater from Achatas. So the Gemara immediately is going to discuss what are they talking about. Gemara says, Michael, what are they arguing about? The Gemara says, Rabban Galiel Savar, Ein Yadil Achatas Shir. So we've seen before this came up with regards to chalef. If you had a half a kazayas of chalef, someone tells you, by the way, you ate chalef, oh my God. Then 3 hours later, you ate the same piece, you completely forgot about it, and you ate it again. They say, hey, you ate chalef. So according to Rabban Gamliel, the fact that someone told you, since it was only a chazi shir, there's no called the idea, you're not going to call it, it's not called an awareness, and therefore, you would in fact still be chayav. The fact that you had a idea between doesn't break up your chiyuv chatzis. However, Rabbanan sarva yesh yedil chatzis shir. Rabbanan hold that, no. The fact that you were aware, therefore, oh, adel chatzis shir chatzis, it tells you, even if it was a chatzis shir, the Rabbanan say that therefore, in the two chatzis shirs would be a break, the fact that he told you that you wrote one letter, according to this, Rabban Gamliel, the Rabbanan would hold your pater, and therefore you would not have to bring a korban chatas in that situation. With that, we finish Hajjal Chabona, Hajjal Chabona, Hajjal Chabona. So now we are up to the next parak. We'll give a 30-second introduction, probably even less, because this parak is all of two dapim. If you take out the half thamud here and you count it down the Kuf Zayin, so it's really mamish two dapim. So just quickly, it's going to discuss the malachas. We're going to continue malacha oreg when it comes to the malacha of weaving, and basically all the malachas that are going to be inherently part of the weaving process, right, when in production of clothing. So we have, right, we also batinirin, and repairing the womb, and the loof, and getting all these things together, and sovea, and things like that, they're all part of making their fabric, so all these things, and malabin is going to come up with cleansing, that is the malacha that's going to be discussed, and then we're going to just get on to tzad, which is going to be the malacha of trapping, and the definition of confining an animal to a certain space, that would be the malacha of tzad, so that's what we're going to discuss in this parak. So now, we're ready to start the mishnah. The mishnah says, Rabbi Lezer, Omer, Rabbi Lezer says, Ha'orek shlosha chutin betchila. That someone was weaving three threads at the beginning, and Rashi says that meaning that he begins to weave a new fabric on Shabbos. Ve'achas ala arig, and he adds one thread to, and this is different now. If you add one thread to a fabric that's already partially woven, Rashi points out that even after adding one thread of weaving one, you're going, that's significant, therefore, the lezer going to hold out your chayev. Therefore, the Mishnah says chayev. You're going to be chayev, you violate Shabbos. That no, they say whether it's the beginning or the end, the minimum share is going to be two threads. So we see over here that that's the minimum according to the Chachamim. Now the Mishnah continues at Osir Shtei Batinirin. If someone makes two meshes, so you have over here just what are we referring to in making these two meshes? So apparently the threads of the warp, the meshings used to be tied along the loom, and the weaving the fabric would begin from these two meshes down below, and those are going to have three. So now the Mishnah tells us, so now again we say, so we're referring to over here, Kirus, the Gemara's going to discuss what is this. Kirus, binafa, vikvar, vasal. You do it in a sieve or a sifter or some a basket. Chayev, in all the examples, you would be chayev. Vatofer, shtei tfiros, someone who sews two stitches. Vakrom, anas, litfar, shtei tfiros, or someone who tears in order to then repair it and stow it back, meaning to make it better. So then that would be the malach we're going to be chayev. So now the Gemara continues, kiyasar, vyotzak, when Rebbe came to Tanish time, he had a brisa that said differently. The Rebbe Lezer said that a person is going to be chayev only if you do two threads in the beginning of a new fabric. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak, Rashi points out, Rabbi Lezer was disagreeing with the Rabbanan only in the case of a thread that is already woven material. In that case, Rabbi Lezer would hold that you're going to be chayev only for one. However, when it comes to the beginning, he would agree with the comment that you require two. The Gemara says, but that's against the Mishnah. Not shalosh. We quoted Rabbi Lezer that's saying that you need three. So how is this stira? The Gemara says, Lokasha ba'alime avektane. The version of Rabbi Lezer is dealing with a thick thread. However, the other version is going to deal with a thin thread. So it doesn't explain which is thick and which is thin. So Amr lehagisa, Amr lehagisa. Some explain it this way, some explain it that way, meaning that there's going to be we're not sure which one was explained on the Mishnah, which one was explained on the Braisa. So the Gemara is going to explain it out. The Gemara fleshes out. Amrei lei lahai gisa. Some explain it this way. Alime, when it comes to the thick threads that they're used, klata lo sasre, that the three woven threads aren't going to unravel, tare sasre. However, two are going to unravel, and therefore you're not going to be chayav unless you want to unravel three of them. Katina, however, when it comes to the thin ones, tre nami lo sisre, that the sasre rather, so that the two are not going to unravel. A person is going to be chayav for weaving even just the small thin threads. Now the Gemara Ksinav Amrle Lahaigisa, some explain it this way, Ktine plus yade tre lo yade, that when it comes to the ones that are thin, so three of them are not going to be noticeable. However, three are going to be noticeable, and then two are not going to be noticeable. In this case, so you're not going to be chayav, and you have to do something which is noticeable, which is only going to be three thin threads. However, when it comes to the thick ones, tre nami yade, that two are also noticeable, and the person is going to be chayav even for just weaving two. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara quotes a Braisa explaining our Mishnah. The Gemara says, "Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Orek shlosha chotim matchila. If you weave three threads at the beginning of this ve'achar alarek, or you add one thread to the woven fabric, chayav are going to be chayav. V'chacham elmerim bein matchila bein masof shiosh shnei chutin. The minimum share of these is going to be." It's going to be two threads. Now, v'safa, what about if you have something on adding something to the hem? Shnei chutin berochav shlosha batei nirim. The minimum share is going to be two threads in the width of these three meshes that we mentioned before. So that is going to be the situation where we're going to be chayav ala mazodomer. What is it similar to? La'oreg tziltzul katan. This is similar to weaving a small belt. Shnei chutin berochav shlosha batei nirim. The two threads in the width of just three meshes, in which that situation you're going to be chayav. So the Gemara points out, la'oreg shlosha chutin betchila. The basis says someone weaves three threads at the beginning, v'achar ala oreg, and one of them are referring to the woven fabric, chayav, you're going to be chayav. Stomach, Rebbe Lezer, this is an opinion of Rebbe Lezer, who quoted in our Mishnah. The Braisa continues, Tana Idach. However, we have another Braisa that says, Orek Shnei Chutin ala Gas, someone who weaves two additional threads into a large piece of woven fabric, Lechora, Va'ala Mira, Va'ala Mira, that we're referring to the border, right? So then, chayav, you're going to be chayav in that situation. Rabbi Lezer says, even for weaving one additional thread, as we've seen before, you're going to be chayav asafa, and on the hem, shnei chutin beruchav shlosha batei nirim, you're going to be chayav if you have two threads in the width of two meshes, we mentioned before, chayav. So halam azadomar, what is it similar? The oreg tiltzul katan, shnei chutin beruchav shlosha batei nirim. This is similar to weaving a small belt, which the minimum shear is going to be two threads in the width of three meshes. The Gemara points out, someone who weaves two additional threads in a large piece of woven fabric, on the border of this new piece of fabric, chayav, you're going to be chayav stomach rabbanan. This shita would be like the rabbanan, as we mentioned in our Mishnah, that it would be only two. So now, fine. So now the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says now, someone who is shtei batei nirin, someone who makes two meshes and you attach them together. So the Gemara says, right to the nirin of the kirus, you're going to be chayav. So the Gemara asks now, my banirin, what does it mean of nirin? What does this mean? So the Gemara says now, marabaye tarte babate nira. Abaye said that we're talking about someone who ties two of the meshes to the thread of the warp, and he ties one of them to this cross piece, meaning that the thread extends from the weaving rod, and therefore that is what we're referring to over here. Now the Gemara says, Bekirus. So the Gemara says, we learned attention to the Kirus. You're also in the Chayas. What is it, Bekirus? The Gemara says, Amai Bekirus. Amarav Mitzivasa. What is Kirus? We're referring to the slips, the parts that go up and down on this stationary loom and are parallel to the pole. That is what we're referring to over here. Va'atofer shtei tfiros. Now, continuing the Hemshech of the Mishnah, the Gemara says now, Tanina be'avos malachos. We already learned this in the Avos Malachos. Va'atofer shtei tfiros. Someone who stows two tishes is going to be chayav. Why does the Mishnah feel any need to repeat it? Meaning, the Avos Malachos in Mishnah Ayin Gimel, the famous Mishnah lists all the 30 Malachos. We already mentioned it. This is just repetitive. So why are you mentioning it again? So the Gemara answers, Mishum de Kabay, the Mishnah Seva, because the Mishnah wants to teach us at the end, Va'akorei almanas litvor shtei tfiros, that someone who tears in order to sew up something, Ketana nami atofer. Therefore, you have to mention someone who's sewing as an agav. The Gemara says, but why do they even need a korea? Va'akorei had is explicit in that mission as well, that someone who's tearing in order to sew back. So we see that already, so there's no reason to mention either of these two malachas over here. So Gemara says, Ela mission to Kabbalah, Mishnah Seifa. No, rather, I merely mention the next mission. Seifa here is referring to the next mission we're going to see in the very next Amud, which is the following, Akorah Chamasa Ve'al Mesa. Someone who's tearing because he's very angry, or because he has a dead Rahman al Salad, Mishum Hachi, in that situation, therefore, because we want to lead up to that Mishnah, Ketani Vatofer Shtitzviros, our Mishnah as a prelude to that was mentioning that someone who sews up two stitches. The Mishnah Ketani Vakoromanas Litfar Shtitzviros, someone who tears in order to sew two stitches. The Gemara says, Hechem Mishkachasa, where do we find this? Turning on to the next Amud, the Avda Ki Ksisa. They're referring to someone made the garment, Rashi points out that it was like a Begad Shava bullet. It was not made, it was sticking out. It was a part that was sticking out, it was sewn unevenly. So in that situation, a person A person would therefore we're talking about over there. So you made it. So you make it like a pocket, lumpy like that. The person is tearing that section in order to resew it, in order to fix it up. In that situation, you would be chayav. Okay, now we're up to the next mission. The mission tells us hakorea b'chamas. So someone who tears it because he's very angry. The Almeso, and also for his debt, if he had a dead person, we're going to see exactly which dead person we're discussing based on the Gemara. V'chol makalkalin. Now, anyone who is acting destructively is going to be pater. Why? Because we learn all these malachos from the Mishkan, and the Mishkan we know was a creative, helpful purpose. If you're doing something destructive, you're not fundamentally doing like they did in the Mishkan, therefore you're going to be pater, exempt midoraisa. However, someone is destroying in order to repair something, shirk masakin, the minimum shir is going to be the same as someone who's repairing. For example, if you tear something, it'd be because you're sewing, or it gets two stitches, so you'd be, if you tear two stitches, you'd be chayav as well. Now, the Mishnah continues, shir malavim menapit, the minimum shir of someone shir malavim menapit, ve'atsoveh ve'atoveh, kimlo rochav sita kafu. Someone, the shir, the minimum shir of someone who's cleaning, right, whitening the garments, or you're combing, that's menapit, is combing, ve'atsoveh, or you're dyeing, ve'atsoveh, is spinning, the shir is going to be double size, the width of a sit. What is a sit? So that is shir, Rashi points out, is the space between the index finger and the middle finger when they are stretched apart. The farthest that could be, that is going to be the shear that you would be chayav on this din. Va'orek shnechutin, if someone who weaves two threads, shear kumala sit, the minimum shear is going to be a full sit. So now the Gemara asks a kasha between the ruling of our Mishnah and the ruling of the Braisa. The Gemara asks, Uramina, we have a stira. The Braisa tells us, akorea b'chamas, so someone is tearing because he is angry, uve avelo ve'almeso, so the name of the Gesef Elo, uve'avelo, ve'almeso sounds like it's a different thing. Ora, it should just be avelo, almeso, that it should be just on his bed, whatever it is, the meso, okay? So if someone who's mourning the dead, chayav, in those situations are going to be chayav. Afal pishim chalal as a Shabbos, even though you violated Shabbos with this act, yatsi de kriya, you fulfilled your obligation of the obligation to be korea, to tear garments for a dead person, one of your relatives. So the Braisa here clearly says you're going to be chayav, that you've done a malacha, as opposed to Shabbos. The Mishnah tells you that in Mekalka, you're not going to be chayav. Agav, the Achronim are bothered, sort of a Yashav asks this kasha, so also after the Sfas Emes, also asks you, why in this mitzvah baba avera? Always we say mitzvah baba avera, if someone's doing an avera, in order to enable him to do an action, to do the mitzvah. So here, the mitzvah of kriya, of tearing for a dead body, but the only way to enable you to do that was doing violating Shabbos. Why aren't you going to be usher? So the Sfas Emes says maybe there's not really a full fledged mitzvah. That's difficult though, because there isn't even, there's pashas a mitzvah also to tear kriya for someone's dead body. Rav Yosef gave a whole fancy terrace, I can get to that one. So, but l'maisam, that's a kasha that I quote him asking. Gemara now answers, Gemara lo kasha, haba meis di day, haba meis de almas. The Gemara is answering that it's not a kasha because the brace is dealing with someone's own dead family, and therefore, since he has a chiyav to tear his garments, therefore he is going to be chayav. However, the Mishnah is talking about a case where a random person and a random person's eye, therefore, since you weren't chayav to tear a kriya, then it's going to be makalka and you're going to be putter. The Gemara says, but that doesn't work with the lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says about mesoktani. It implies that it's your dead. It sounds like it's someone who's in your family, someone you're chayav to be tearing kriya for. So the Gemara says laolam b'mes today. So really, the Mishnah is referring to really it is a relative. Uvehanach the lab nevisnu, but it's a relative who you're not really. There's the zayin krovim, usually the first zayin, but here's the sheish krovim that Rashi points out are aviv, imo, bino, bito, achiv, achos. Right, your father, your mother, your son, your daughter, your brother, your sister. Those examples are the things you're going to be chayav to do kriya for. So those, if it's not one of those, but it is a family member, so then that's referring to here is not considered a chiyuv, so therefore it's destructive to feed the Mishnah. The Gemara asks of Ichachama, but if this relative of yours is, again, what, let's say a cousin, so it's her cousin who's not someone you're chayav to do it, but if you did, the Gemara asks the Kasha, the Gemara says, if it's a Chacham, chiyuv mechayav, you're obligated to disan a Chacham shemesa kol krovav. So the Bryson tells us that if there is a Chacham who died, everyone's considered his relative. So the Gemara asks, everyone is really his relative. What do I mean? A kol krovav. Not everyone's related to the Talmud Chacham. Rather, the Gemara says, "Ela im hakol kikrovav," that everyone is like his relative, and that is the fact that what a kol chotzin alav, a kol marvin alav, a kol korin alav, a kol chotzin alav, kol marvin alav berachava. That everyone has to tear their garments for him. Everyone has to also they used to apparently tear their shoulders also for an extra thing for when they were show their shoulders exposed for this Talmud Chacham. That's also a sign of mourning, and also they're eat the meal in the rechava for him. Apparently, Rav Rashi seems to imply that Sizer Ra, the morning is only forbidden to eat, and maybe it could be potentially only the very first meal. Maybe not after. Okay, the shayla, we hold more. But either way, so that's what comes out of this Gemara. The Gemara says, so that if Chacham Shemis, you have a chiyuv to be korea for him. So then, Gemara says, so we must be talking about it where he's not a Talmud Chacham. So Gemara says, "Adam kasher hilchi mechayev." But even if it's an adam kasher, he's just a good guy. So then he's going to be chayev also. Chiyum mechayev. The son of the Brisa tells us, "Menei ma meisim banav uvnosu shel adam kshin ketanim." Why do a person's sons and daughters die when they're still young? Kadesh yibchev yisav al adam kasher, in order so people will properly mourn someone who is a good person. So the Gemara asks, "What do you mean, kadesh yibchev? In order that you should make him cry, or buve shaklem minei? We're taking a collateral from this person. Why should we punish the person and have the young person sin for the adam kasher?" The Gemara says, "Ella b'neisha kol bolche misabel adam kasher." In order that the person here is being punished with the death of his children because he didn't properly mourn the death of a person who was an adam kasher, a person who was a good guy. So we see from here that even for a good guy, you have a chiyuv to do kriya. So Rabbi Eliezer just points out, why in the world are we not masking for this? Gemara says, "Beferish over here, we're going to end up giving different tarots." But so he asks, why in the world are we not masking for this? So he says, because Mimono Shach is not going to work. Because let's say we're saying Adam Kusher is, maybe it's only someone who didn't miss any of the Targum Mitzvah. So then you don't have Kima that doesn't exist. We don't have anyone who doesn't do all the 6 tarots. Everyone makes mistakes, people sin. So therefore there's no Adam Kusher. He says, you want to say the Getter is not Adam Kusher, it's just a guy who, let's say, who Shomer Shabbos and a good guy, a good guy in Shul. So then if that's the case of Rav Asher, then no one would have any garments ever. They'd have to, Rechman Al-Tzun, every single day a Jew dies, and they're always good guys, and so then you would have to tear Kriya, you would never have any begadim. It can't be that was a takana. Okay, and when he says, also, what about Talmud Chacham now? Talmud Chacham, Shemayis Hakam, we're not Korea on that one. So he says, basically, maybe the begadim Shulchan Aruch, that there was a minute, we don't give the person embarrasses Talmud Chacham, there's a chiyuv based on the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch says, we don't have that because we don't have real Talmud Chachamim. So Rav Asher says that maybe for this din as well, we don't have full fledged real Talmud Chachamim, and therefore we're not misabel. There is a din for Rabbi Muvak, a lot of people are machmir that, or the Mamish, the Gadol Ador, a lot of people I witnessed it myself, a lot of Talmud Chachamim and Rav Avadia, Zatzal passed away. I witnessed a lot of people who were tearing their garments for Rav Avadia. So Lamaitza, it does exist for the Gadol Ador. Some people are machmir for that. Okay, so that is either way what comes out of the Gemara. The Gemara says again, so we're stuck though. At this point, we're assuming that there's a chiyuv for everyone. So how could the Mishnah have a case where it's makalkel? So the Gemara explains on Lotzricha Delav Adam Kasher. So maybe we're talking about the case of the Mishnah where your pater is going to be where the person was not a good guy. So the Gemara says, "V'ida kabashas yitzirish hamad." The Gemara asks, "So if the guy wasn't there, was there when the person died, chiyuv mechayvi would still be obligated to tear your garments?" It's not. We learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Omer Almeis, Beshas yitzirish neshama. A chayav lekroy, you're going to be obligated to tear a garment. What's it similar to? The Sefer Torah shenisrafa, to a Sefer Torah that was burnt. When a person witnesses a Sefer Torah being burnt, we know that if it was b'mezid and they're doing it for bad things, then you're going to be chayav. So then at the end of the day, so then you're going to be chayav over here. So the Gemara is going back and asking, if that's the case though, then why should you be exempt on Shabbos? Because at the end of the day, you would have a chayav if you were at Yetzias Neshama. So just Agav, the Mishnah, if you actually look at the Lashon, the lashon over there in the Gemara Moed Katam, it was actually Dafka talking about a Talmud Chacham or someone who does mitzvahs, and that way he's going to be like a similar to a Talmud Torah. The Sefer Torah. And Agav Rav Shlomo Zalman had a beautiful pshat in that. The Talmud Chacham, he has the Kiddush of Sefer Torah. He's higher than a Sefer Torah because he brings the Ora Torah with him. He's someone who's Amel Torah. He represents the Torah. Everything he does teaches us lessons. So he's even greater than a Sefer Torah. A very beautiful comparison, he says. In his famous story, Agav just with Reb Chaim and the Netziv, that one of them fell with the Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah. So let's just assume it was the Netziv fell on Simchas Torah. And then Reb Chaim said, pick up the Netziv before the Sefer Torah, because they are the living examples of Sefer Torah. Okay. Either way, but the Gemara was going back to our Gemara now. The Gemara was assuming we're talking about not an Adam Kasher, so we were assuming that when Yetzias Neshama, we always tear Kriya. So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, then it's Chayav. So the Gemara says, it must be Lotzricha, the Lo Kai Beshias Neshama. It must be, the Mishnah is referring to a case where you're not, where the person wasn't there, and you're tearing a Dafka in a destructive act, which is going to be Pater. So the Gemara says, Tenach Meso. So now we have answered the Stira with regards to the Mace in the Stira between the Brice and the Mishnah. However, El Chamaso Kasha, we have a Kasha between the Keter contradiction, but the fact that our Mishnah says you're going to be Makalkel, and you're angry, you're going to be pater. However, the Braisa told you it's going to be chayav. So my answer is chamaso kuzman lo kasha. When it comes to the fact that the Braisa and the steer and the Mishnah and Braisa with regards to being angry then and tearing your garments, there's no steer there. Harab Yehuda, Harab Shimon. The Braisa is referring to Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah is going to be referring to Rabbi Shimon. What is that? How Rabbi Yehuda, as we're going to see, damar melachos and tzrikla gufa chayav aleh. We've seen this already a few times in this masechta. That fundamentally, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon always have a machlokas. How much of a melacha did you need to be chayav on Shabbos? Rabbi Yehuda is in general much more. open to defining a malacha as being chayav for it. So in this example also, that if you're doing malacha not for your defined purpose, let's say you just want to avoid a bad thing, like the example that we had, the Mishnah, right? If a person is carrying out a dead body, according to Yehuda, chayav. All I want to do is remove the dead body. I didn't care about the actual hotza. I don't care about my defined purpose of doing the malacha hotza. I just want to get rid of the dead body from the house. Still, Rabbi Yehuda holds you're going to chayav. However, Rabbi Shimon, so therefore over here also, since all the reason you're doing the malacha is in order to do it for the kriya, for the mace, so that is according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're still going to be chayav. However, Rabbi Shimon that holds, the Omar malacha, that he held that someone who does a malacha which is not needed for its defined purpose over here with regards to the mace, so Rabbi Shimon is going to hold that you're patur. So this is the stira between the Mishnah and the Braith. So the Mishnah is following Rabbi Shimon, and the Braith is following Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara asks, though, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara asks the Kasha. The Gemara says, Imra Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, Bimisakin, renders Rabbi Yehuda say this din only when he's actually fixing his action. However, Bimikalka Mishmilasa, when you actually have, when you've done a destructive act over here, meaning when you've done a malacha, you've fixed the situation that you're in, here you've done a destructive act, maybe Rabbi Yehuda agree that you're not going to be chayav. So the Gemara answers on Rabbi Avin, Hai Nami Mesakin, no, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that this case is also, you've actually done something positive. What is that? Dekavin Nachas Ruach Liyitzah, at the end of the day, you have satisfied your Yetzer Hara, your evil inclination, by cooling off your anger, by tearing your garment. So the Gemara is assuming that you've done a positive thing. The Gemara asks, is that really true though? But you satisfied your Yetzer Hara? Is that really permitted? Some say even during the week ever to do this. V'atana, the Braisa tells Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Omer B'Shem Chalifa ben Arga, Omer B'Shem ben Nuri, HaMekarei B'Gedah B'Chamasu, someone who tears your garments in his anger, V'Mishar B'Kleo B'Chamasu, you break your tenses of anger, V'Pazir Masu B'Chamasu, you do anything, any of these things, you scatter your money in your anger, Yeh B'Nechlik Ovid Avodah Zara. If you do these things, you're going to be angry. The Rambam extends this to just being angry in general. This was just culture when you do a Maisa to show anger. The Rambam writes, anyone who gets angry is Ke'ilu Avodah Zara. Shekachu Nosu Yetzer Har, because this is the way, the trickery of the Yetzer Har. What does he do? Hey, Omer Lecha Asa Lekach, today you'll do a small little Avera. And the next day, Mechor Yom Asa Lekach, do this other little Avera. Hashem Alo, Lech Avodah Zara, eventually you're going to be doing Avodah Zara. So now the Gemara analyzes the basic words of Amar Avavin, Mai Kro, what is the Pasuk? Lebecha El Zara Lech Shtachvel El Nechar. You don't have a strange God within you, meaning another God, and don't bow before a different God. Ezu El Zara Shayu Gubukov Shadam, who are referring to with the strange God, they're referring to the body of a person. Avi Omer, Zay Yetzer Har, this is referring to the Yetzer Har over here, and then meaning the tearing of. So again, going back to our kash over here, that the act of tearing is not caused by the Yetzer Hara, rather it's going to be making the Yetzer Hara worse. So it's Mekalka again. So the Gemara answers you right. The Gemara says, therefore, lo tzricha the kavod the mirsa imsa enish beise. You only knew this in order to just strike fear. You weren't angry at all. And the Rambam writes that you, even if doing these actions, you shouldn't do them with any anger. As the Gemara is going to relate, kiyad Rav Yehuda shalif matzives. Rav Yehuda used to pull off the corners of his garment to show that he was angry. Rav Acha Yaakov Rav Tavir. Again, they weren't actually angry according to Rambam. These Chachamim were just doing it to pretend they're angry to show ema that people would fear them in their household. So then they would break utensils. Rav Sheshi Ramadai Amse Monuni Aresha. Rav Sheshi to throw fishbine at the head of his maidservant. Rav Abba Rav Tavar Nachman. Rav Abba broke a little pitcher. All these examples were in order that people have yira, and that would be masakin, and that was the case. Rabbi Yehuda would hold a chayv, and that's how we're explaining the brisa. Rabbi Yehuda would hold in that situation would be chayv. Mirta Shem will pick up of Amar Bishim and Bepazi tomorrow. Tomorrow is a very short daf, so even though we're a little bit higher up today, Mirta Shem will pick up and catch up tomorrow to finish up all of Kuvav Mirta Shem.